While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Algorithmic bias is literally destroying lives across every sector of society. Maya, you've been tracking this with your organizing networks. What are you seeing on the ground?
Alex, it's worse than most people realize. Just last week, I was with a family in Oakland whose son got flagged by a predictive policing algorithm. 22 years old, never been arrested, but the system marked his neighborhood, his age group, his everything as high risk. Now he can't even walk to work without getting stopped. And when I say stopped, I mean hands on the hood, searched, humiliated in front of his community.
Advocate Amara, you used to work inside these tech companies. How do these algorithms even make these decisions?
I spent 5 years building these systems before I couldn't stomach it anymore. The dirty secret is that these algorithms are trained on historical data, data that's already poisoned by centuries of discrimination. So when you feed racist policing patterns from the past 50 years into a machine learning model, guess what? It tells cops to keep targeting the same communities. It's not artificial intelligence, it's automated injustice.
And from a legal standpoint, we're seeing this everywhere. I'm currently representing 17 clients whose lives have been derailed by algorithmic decisions. One woman, Maria, was denied a job at a major retailer because their hiring algorithm flagged her zip code as high turnover risk. Her zip code. We're literally seeing digital redlining. That's exactly what's happening to us drivers, too. The delivery apps use algorithms that decide everything: which orders we get, how much we're paid, whether we keep our jobs. Last month, my acceptance rate dropped to 87% because I refused 3 orders that would have cost me money after gas. The algorithm deactivated me. No human to talk to, no appeal process, just suddenly unemployed.
Jin, that's exactly why we started organizing. These companies hide behind their algorithms like they're some neutral force of nature. But somebody wrote that code, somebody chose that data, and somebody is profiting while workers suffer.
The research we're seeing backs this up completely. These articles show how algorithmic bias perpetuates and amplifies existing inequalities. Amara, can you break down how this actually works in the code?
Sure. Take credit scoring algorithms. They use factors like financial relationships, basically who you're connected to. If your family members have bad credit, that affects your score. If you live in a neighborhood with lower average credit scores, that affects you too. It's guilt by algorithmic association. And here's the kicker. The companies claim this is objective because it's math.
We've seen this defense in court repeatedly. The algorithm made the decision, not us. But when we've gotten discovery in these cases, we find emails where executives explicitly discuss using proxies for race and class. They know zip codes correlate with race. They know certain shopping patterns correlate with income. They're laundering discrimination through data.
And it ain't just about individual cases neither. When I switch into my community voice, because this is how we really talk about it in the neighborhoods, we know these systems are designed to keep us down. My cousin couldn't get an apartment last year. Perfect payment history at her current spot, good job, references. But some tenant screening algorithm gave her a risk score of 420 out of 1,000. Why? They won't say. That's the proprietary algorithm.
The worst part is how they make us compete against each other. The app shows us our performance metrics compared to other drivers. It creates this race to the bottom where we're taking dangerous rides, speeding, doing anything to keep our ratings up. 3 drivers I know got in accidents last month trying to meet their quotas.
This connects to what researchers call algorithmic management, using automated systems to control workers without human oversight. The psychological impact alone is devastating.
I watched this happen from inside. We'd have meetings about optimizing driver utilization, corporate speak for squeezing every penny out of workers. The algorithm would calculate the exact minimum payment that would keep drivers on the road. If gas prices went up, it might add 20 cents, just enough to keep people desperate. Never enough to thrive.
The criminal justice applications are even more terrifying. We're seeing judges use risk assessment algorithms for sentencing. These systems score defendants on their likelihood to reoffend. But the factors they use, employment history, education level, family criminal history, they're just proxies for poverty and race. I had a client, Marcus, first offense, nonviolent drug possession. The algorithm rated him high risk because his father had been incarcerated. The judge followed the recommendation, 5 years instead of probation.
That's generational trauma encoded into software, and people wonder why we're so angry. These algorithms are taking the worst parts of our history and using them to predict our future. It's like, imagine if they made a computer program based on Jim Crow laws and then said, oh, but it's scientific now.
What kills me is how they present it as progress. Join the gig economy, be your own boss. But really, you're just alone with an app that can destroy your income with no warning. At least with a human boss, you could try to explain your situation. The algorithm doesn't care that your kid was sick or your car broke down.
The research shows this isolation is intentional. By mediating everything through algorithms, companies avoid accountability. There's no one to negotiate with, no one to hold responsible.
Exactly. And they design it to seem inevitable. I remember presentations where we'd show how the algorithm improved efficiency by 15%. Nobody asked. Efficient for whom? Not for the drivers working 16-hour days. Not for the communities being over-policed. Efficient for extracting profit.
We're starting to see some legal pushback, but it's slow. The EU has regulations requiring explanations for algorithmic decisions. Some US cities are passing algorithmic accountability laws, but enforcement is weak, and companies find workarounds. They'll give you an explanation that's just technical gibberish.
That's why organizing is so crucial. We can't wait for laws to save us. In Oakland, we've got crews doing Know Your Rights trainings specifically about algorithmic systems, teaching people to document everything, demand human review, connect with others facing the same discrimination. When my anger rises up, when I think about all the families being torn apart by these systems, we channel that into action.
The drivers in my city started sharing data. We screenshot everything. Payment algorithms, route assignments, deactivation threats. We're building our own database to prove the discrimination. Some computer science students are helping us analyze patterns.
This collective intelligence approach is fascinating. You're essentially reverse engineering the algorithms through crowdsourced data.
It's the only way. These companies will never voluntarily reveal their systems. I've seen the non-disclosure agreements. I signed dozens. But when thousands of affected people share their experiences, patterns emerge. You can't hide systemic bias when the community maps it together.
From a litigation standpoint, this collective evidence is gold. Individual cases are hard to prove, but when you show a judge data from hundreds of drivers or thousands of loan applicants, the discrimination becomes undeniable. We're moving from anecdotal to statistical proof.
And we ain't just collecting data, we're taking action. Remember when that facial recognition company was scanning folks at the mall without consent? We organized, had grandmothers and teenagers, everybody out there with signs, teaching people to cover their faces, demanding that mall ban the system. Took 3 months of protests, but we won.
That gives me hope. Sometimes driving alone for 12 hours, fighting with an app for every dollar, it feels hopeless. But hearing about wins like that, knowing other workers are fighting too, it matters.
The international perspective is important here too. We're seeing similar struggles globally. Delivery drivers in India, rideshare workers in Brazil, all facing the same algorithmic exploitation.
The same code, literally. These companies deploy identical systems worldwide, maybe with tiny local tweaks. I've seen the repositories. An algorithm oppressing workers in São Paulo is probably the same one squeezing drivers in Seattle.
Which opens interesting legal strategies. If we can prove systematic discrimination in one jurisdiction, it suggests a pattern everywhere the algorithm operates. We're starting to coordinate with international lawyers, sharing strategies and evidence.
That worldwide solidarity is beautiful. We had a video call last month with organizers from Jakarta, Lagos, Mexico City. Same stories everywhere. Algorithms treating human beings like data points, extracting maximum value with minimum accountability. but also the same resistance. Workers figuring out how to game the systems, communities protecting each other.
Sometimes we share tips across cities. Like drivers in LA figured out that declining orders in certain patterns confuse the algorithm into giving better routes. Word spreads through WhatsApp groups, signal channels. It's our own underground network.
This informal knowledge sharing is a form of resistance in itself. You're creating human networks to combat algorithmic control.
It has to be human-centered. That's what I learned after leaving tech. All the talk about optimizing and efficiency, it strips away humanity. These systems don't see a single parent trying to make rent or a young person building a future. They see data points to manipulate.
The legal framework needs to catch up. Right now, algorithmic discrimination falls through cracks in civil rights law. Was it racial bias or the algorithm? Was it the company's intent or the training data? Courts get confused and companies exploit that confusion.
While they're confused, people are suffering. My neighbor just got evicted. The landlord used some tenant risk assessment system that flagged her for late payments. She was late twice in 5 years, both times by less than a week, both times with good reasons. But the algorithm don't care about reasons. Now she's trying to find housing with an eviction on her record. And guess what? Every algorithmic screening system will flag that eviction forever.
It's a trap that keeps tightening. One bad algorithmic decision leads to another. Can't get housing because of your credit score. Can't improve your credit without stable housing. Can't get a good job because of your address. Can't afford a better address without a good job.
The cyclical nature of algorithmic harm is something researchers are just beginning to document. These systems create feedback loops that entrench disadvantage.
We call them doom loops internally. Once you're flagged by one system, that data gets sold to other companies. Your risk score in one area affects your opportunities everywhere. I saw the data broker contracts. Your information gets packaged and sold thousands of times.
This is why we need comprehensive reform. Not just tweaking individual algorithms, but addressing the entire ecosystem of data collection, sharing, and automated decision-making. Some of our lawsuits demand systemic changes, not just compensation for one victim, but restructuring how these systems work.
Community solutions are rising up too. In Detroit, folks started a community loan fund specifically to bypass algorithmic credit scoring. Real people evaluating real situations. It's small, but it's growing. We're building alternatives while we fight the systems.
Drivers in my city are exploring a co-op model. Our own app, our own rules. No algorithm deciding who works when or for how much. Democratic decisions by the people doing the work.
These alternative models are crucial. It's not just about regulating existing systems, but imagining different possibilities. How do we ensure they succeed?
Technical knowledge is power. That's why I spend time now teaching affected communities about these systems. Not to make everyone a programmer, but to demystify the technology. When people understand that algorithms are just human decisions hidden in code, they're less intimidated, more ready to fight back.
Legal support matters too. We're training more lawyers in algorithmic accountability, teaching them what questions to ask in discovery, how to challenge technical testimony, how to translate code discrimination into legal arguments.
But the real power is when all of us come together. Tech workers with conscience, lawyers with commitment, organizers with community roots. When Jin's driver network connects with Amara's technical knowledge and Carlos's legal expertise, that's when we become unstoppable.
We're planning a day of action next month. Drivers, delivery workers, all gig workers controlled by algorithms, not just stopping work, but demonstrating alternatives, showing our cities what human-centered work could look like.
This synthesis of legal action, technical understanding, and grassroots organizing seems like the path forward. What would real accountability look like?
First, transparency. Not fake transparency where they dump thousands of pages of code, but real explanations of how decisions are made. Second, liability. If your algorithm discriminates, you're responsible, period. No hiding behind mathematical complexity.
And meaningful remedies. Not just we'll tweak the algorithm, but compensation for harm done, changes to business models, ongoing community oversight. Some cities are creating algorithm review boards with real power.
Most important is putting affected people at the center. Not consulting with us after you build something harmful, but including us from the start. Nothing about us without us. That principle applies to algorithms too.
Worker ownership would change everything. If drivers controlled the apps, we wouldn't design systems that push us to exhaustion. We'd build for sustainability, safety, dignity.
As we wrap up this week's investigation, the pattern is clear. Algorithmic bias isn't a technical glitch. It's systematic oppression laundered through technology. But the resistance is growing.
Every tech worker who refuses to build harmful systems, every affected person who shares their story, every organizer who brings communities together, we're all part of reclaiming our future from algorithmic control.
The law is slowly catching up. Each case we win sets precedent. Each regulation passed creates accountability. It's incremental, but it's building.
And in our communities, we're not waiting. We're creating alternatives, supporting each other, fighting back. These algorithms might be powerful, but they ain't more powerful than organized people demanding justice.
Tomorrow, I'll be back on the road, fighting with the app for every delivery. But I'll also be organizing, sharing knowledge, building towards something better. That's how we win, one connection at a time.
The investigation continues next week, but the message is clear. Algorithmic justice requires human solidarity. Until these systems serve people instead of exploiting them, the fight goes on.